morning, right? Now, don't get excited just because I have a small water bottle up here. It doesn't mean that my sermon's going to be any shorter, okay? Look at that. He's going to give me another one. I don't know if you heard the story about the man who decided he was going to take a walk in the forest one day. And as he was walking in the forest, he came upon a bear. And he took off running as fast as he can, but the bear was hot on his trail. And he just kept running until he got to the edge of a cliff and he had nowhere else to go. And he turned around and he fell on his knees and he prayed, "God, make this a kind Christian bear." And when, to his amazement, the bear fell on his knees and said, "Dear Lord, bless this food that I'm about to eat." You know, I believe we live in a world today where we are so self-centered and inward-focused. And it's sad to think that as Christians that we can live that way, because that's not what God has called us to. I think we live in a generation that is thankless. You notice that? And it seems like generation by generation, it just gets worse. And this morning, I'm going to be preaching about don't forget to be thankful. I know most of you are thinking, it is not November. Why are you preaching that? Well, I think that's the problem, right? We think it's for only a certain time of year, but I'm convinced more now than ever that we need to live a life of thankfulness, not only to those around us, but especially to the God who created us. 1 Corinthians 3:5 tells us, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." You know, when we realize that and we live that, we will have thankful hearts. Christians, we should realize that apart from Christ, we are nothing and we have nothing. To observe a heart of thanks rightly, one must acknowledge the holiness and majesty of the God to whom thanks is due, and also the utter sinfulness of humanity. You think about that. As we were praising God this morning, right? As we were singing praises this morning, my heart was breaking in the fact that I am a sinful man. And when we're in the presence of Almighty God, we have no choice but say, "Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, for your mercy that we can even be in this place today to worship you." Amen. Listen to this. Martin Luther once said, "The greater God's gifts and works, the less they are regarded." How true is that today? You know, we expect, here's the problem, we expect God's grace and gifts in our life. And how often do we say thank you to God for what he has done? God wants us to be people who exhibit a thankfulness in proportion to the gifts and blessings we've received. If you got a copy of the scripture this morning, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 17, we're going to be looking at the story of the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. What I want us to see here is it talks about Jesus is making his journey back to Jerusalem to fulfill the scriptures, okay? His impending death is coming. And as he's traveling, he goes through Samaria. Now, I want you to understand something about Samaritans, okay? Samaritans were looked upon poorly by the Jews because Samaritans were the Jewish people who left the Jewish people to marry into other people groups. And so they were looked upon poorly. What I love to point out here is the love of Christ is for everyone. Amen? And so Jesus probably intentionally went this way to minister to those who nobody else would talk to. And so as he's going on his way, he comes and finds 10 lepers. And it says they stood afar off. Now, if you don't know much about leprosy, lepers had to leave their families, they had to leave their communities, and they were cast out, and they had to live in a cave amongst other lepers, and they couldn't be in close proximity to anybody else because everybody was afraid that if you came in contact with somebody who had leprosy, you would receive leprosy too. And so even as they would walk in the streets, if anybody got close to them at all, they had to cry out, leper, leper, so people would move away from them and not get too close to them. Not a very fun life to live. And so here it is, we see probably a group of 10 lepers who all live together in a community, right? And they see Jesus coming. And I love what they say there. They say to him, In verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And let me tell you something interesting about leprosy. So the leprosy of biblical times and the leprosy that we see today were probably not the same thing. Do you realize that from 1866 to 1969, people who had leprosy were sent to Hawaii to live in a colony in Hawaii. Isn't that interesting? They lived on an island in Hawaii all the way from 1866 to 1969. Now that area is a national park. But here it is. These people have this leprosy, and it says that Jesus sees them afar off because they could not come close to him, right? And what does he tell them? He says, go show yourselves to the priest. So understand that people who had leprosy in this time, before they could be welcomed back into society, if they were healed, they would have to go and show themselves to the priest. And the priest was the one who would say, you can go back. You've been cleansed. You can go back into society. So Jesus tells them, go show yourself to the priest. Jesus didn't even do anything to them here, did he? And you know, you think about that. You think about, there's a story of the blind man, right? Where Jesus spits and makes mud and puts on his eyes. And then he can see, right? But there's other stories in the New Testament about people who were blind that Jesus just said, you're well. He didn't do anything to them. Let me tell you something. Jesus isn't always working in ordinary ways, right? You can always expect extraordinary from God. And so it is, he tells them, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. And it says, and as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine these 10 guys? As they're walking, they are literally seeing their skin clear up. As they're walking, they are being healed. Wouldn't that be something else? And what does it say? In verse 15, and one of them, one of 10. You know, it's so important that we teach our children please and thank you, right? But are they seeing that exhibited in our lives? Or are we teaching them something that we ourselves don't even practice? I think the reason we live in a generation that is thankless is because they're modeling it after us. And we see here one out of ten, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. First thing I want us to see, in order for us to have a thankful heart, we must first, number one, recognize what God has done in our lives. Right? We see that in verse 15. He recognized that Jesus had brought healing to his life. How many times in the Old Testament, how many times in the Exodus, did Jesus tell Moses to remind the Israelites of what he had done? Right? Do you remember when Joshua led them over the river? When they got to the other side, what did they do? You remember? They built a memorial, right? And you know what Joshua said? So that our children's children will remember what God has done. Hey, there is no greater testimony that we have for our children and for our grandchildren than when we tell them what God has done in our lives. The first thing we need to do is recognize what God has done in our lives. Isaiah got this in the book of Isaiah when he came into the presence of Almighty God. In Isaiah 64:6, he says, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are but filthy rags." Because he knew apart from God, he was nothing. But with God, he could be something, but it was because of what God had done in his life. Psalm 100, verse 3 tells us, "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Not only must we recognize what God has done in our lives, number two, we must glorify God for what he has done. Look at what this one did. It says in verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." And it just happens to throw in there what? He was a Samaritan. Why is that important? Because they don't usually associate with Jews, right? It goes to show once again that God's love and grace is for all people. Amen? We must glorify him when he is exalted in our mind and heart. When we find him to be greater than all things created or imagined. He is glorified in us when we admire him for his person, his work, and his promises. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you." You understand that at this time, this is the coronation service for Saul the king. You remember the Israelites were throwing a fit because they didn't have a king. Everybody else had a king, but they didn't. And so they were throwing a fit about it, right? God says, "I am your king." Well, that wasn't good enough. They needed a king in the flesh. And so at the coronation service for Saul, Samuel is reminding them that God is their one true king, right? And he is our one true king today. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul tells us, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." When we live a life of praise to the Lord, it brings him glory. And I need you to just think about this one. You think about this leper. We don't know how long he's had leprosy. We don't know how long he's been excommunicated from those he loves and those he grew up with. But can you imagine what kind of heart he had? We can see it pictured right here. As he fell at the feet of Jesus. He fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him because he knew who brought the healing. You know why? Because he never made it to the priest. Nothing in here says that they made it to the priest. It says as they were going, he realized, I am healed. And he could have kept going to the priest so he could be returned into the community, right? But he didn't, because he had a greater need in his life to give thanks and glory to the one who brought the healing. Let me tell you something. If you are here today and you are saved, you have been healed, right? And we should be worshiping God because our lives have been forever changed. Number three, in order for us to have a thankful heart, we must live a life of thankfulness to the Father. Verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Listen, first off, we aren't foreigners. We are children of God. Amen? And we should have thankful hearts and live a life of thankfulness because of that. You know, there is nothing worse than a Christian who is ungrateful. Amen? Because what kind of testimony do you have if you're an ungrateful Christian? What you are saying is, God is not enough. If you live a life of unthankfulness, you're saying, God is not enough in my life. And that's why I am ungrateful. Colossians 3, 15 and 17 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Three times in these verses, we're admonished to be thankful and to give thanks. Why do you think that is? Because when you live a life that way, that is exhibits and shows thankfulness, it's going to make an impact with those people who are around you in a positive way. We must commit everything we do or everything we say to Jesus Christ and continually thank God for all his good gifts. You have something to be thankful for today? I'm glad some of y'all do. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. Now, that's not always easy, right? That's not always easy when we're going through the valley and we don't have an understanding of why we're going through that valley. But the Word tells us, in everything, give thanks. Statistically, this account is true. When you serve others, only about 10% will say thank you. I was thinking about this the other day because Wednesday night we had our Awana Bash and we had our store and auction. So the kids earn points throughout the year for their scripture memorization, and then they get to go spend these points. So I was working the auction, and that's TNT, which is 3rd through 6th grade. And so I would say we probably had 30 kids in there. Yeah, I'd say we had 30 kids. You know, and it was all done, I had one kid come up and say thank you. One kid. Now, I'm not looking for thanks, but I'm also wanting these children to be thankful for what they have. Right? I mean, they earned it. They did the scripture memorization. They earned it. But you know what? That's the mentality we have today. Here's our mentality. So-and-so knows I'm thankful for them. Right? My spouse knows I'm thankful for them. Well, have you told them? No, they already know it. I don't need to tell them. No, you do need to tell them. Look at Jesus goes, where's the other 9? Weren't there 9 others? Could they not come back and say thank you? We don't know where the other 9 were going, More than likely, they were continuing on to the priest so they could get accepted back into the community, right? But it never has an account of them coming and saying thank you. Serving others is a thankless task. This is why we must serve God rather than men, because we know that God always sees and he will thank us when we stand before him one day. My prayer is when I stand before the Lord, he will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. And whatever I have will be laid at his feet." Just like this one who had leprosy. And number four, our lives must be forever changed by the love and grace of God, and we must show it. Verse 19, "And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well.'" I want you to understand something here. This man not only had a physical healing, he had a spiritual healing as well. You know, that's what we pray for in our church. When we do any activities, when we do basketball, when we do Good News Club, when we do Operation Backpack, when we do Thanksgiving baskets, we're not only meeting a physical need. Our prayer is that these people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because they see the love of Christ in us as we serve them. This man had received the fullness of Jesus' grace and healing. His heart was changed not just in his condition that received physical healing. Flip with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 1. In verse 9, this is Paul. He's writing this letter and he says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God." He's encouraging the group here, and he's telling them, listen, I am thankful for you. He's talking about how thankful he is for these people. He said, from day one to even now, you've been doing the work of the Lord. What a testimony that is, right? You know, I'm afraid the problem is some of us forget that we're running a race, right? And we decide that we want to be spectators instead of participators in the gospel. And that's not a good place to be. But here it is, he's telling them, I'm thankful that you have been participators in the gospel. And what comes out of that is that you may abound in love. When you have a thankful heart, you're going to abound in love. Amen? And what comes out of that is you will have knowledge and all discernment that you may approve the things that are excellent. And that you may produce fruit. Why is that important that we produce fruit? Because in the fruit that God produces through us when we're obedient to him is a testimony to those around us of the change that is in our life and the love of God that is in us. This Samaritan didn't waste any time showing his gratitude to the healer. Sometimes we can get so focused on rules and religion that we forget about relationship. The other nine more than likely were trying to carry out what they were told to do. They were going to show themselves to the priest. But this one says, you know what? There's something greater waiting on me at the feet of Jesus than what's waiting on me at the priest. Make sure, listen to me, make sure that you have a relationship with the Father. That it is a true relationship with God. That you're not just following rules and you're not just doing religion. Because that adds up to nothing. Sometimes we forget that we cannot earn our salvation. That is by grace through faith in Christ and Christ alone. James talks about a faith that works and not a faith with works. Does that make sense? James tells us we have works, but our works do not save us. Our works are a result of the salvation that we have in Christ. Because once you're saved, you're going to do something about it. Amen? Understand, works is not the requirement for salvation. Rather, it is the requirement of salvation. We cannot possibly have a faith worth anything if we don't put our belief in action. When we are forever changed by what Christ has done for us, we're going to abound in love, just like Paul said. And when you abound in love, you abound in a thankful heart to those around you, but most importantly, to the one who saved you. How many times a day do we give thanks to God? Let me encourage you in this. Anytime you go to God in prayer, start by thanking Him. Start by thanking Him that you have breath to breathe, that He is doing a work in your life, and He has a purpose and a plan that He will carry out until the day of Christ's return. Thank Him. You know, we can always go to God with a list of things, can't we, that we think so important? But when you start off thanking God, then praising God, all those other things don't seem so important anymore. But you've got to have a thankful heart. You know, I read about a study that was recently done in the church. And it said 78% of church staff members say that in any given year, they can go without a single thanks. If that's just happening to staff members, it's happening through the rest of the church as well. And you know what? That's not what we need to be. And I've always said this, and I stick with this. My Awana leaders, doing this 19 years, there's never been a year where I've had to beg anybody to help. There's always been workers there to work. And I am so thankful for that. I am thankful for our army of volunteers in this church. And I know I speak for anybody who serves in any part of the church, whether it's the Good News Club, Awana's, whatever it is, none of those would happen without our volunteers. And they have been phenomenal. And I am so thankful for them because we couldn't do it without them. But you know what? We need to be telling each other that. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. Husbands, some of you need to thank your wives. Maybe not. Wow, that was a good opportunity and it just flopped. Husbands, some of you need to thank your wives. All right, we got one. Wives, some of you need to thank your husbands. Oh, see, I see who the grateful ones are here. You and I were just like these lepers. And Jesus has redeemed us. He has healed us. He has made us whole. When we believe in Jesus for everlasting life, He gives it to us and promises that we will never become lepers again. We will never lose our eternal life. He told us to serve Him, to love Him, and to worship Him, to sit at His feet and listen to Him. But we get so busy trying to do all these things that we forget completely about Him. Just like these lepers. We get so intent on doing what we're told to do, we forget completely that just 10 minutes ago, we were lepers and we were healed. And our first priority should be at the feet of Jesus. And to love Him because He first loved us. Today, I want to encourage you to be the 10th leper. Just forget about your to-do list. Come back to Jesus. fall at his feet and worship him. Every eye bowed this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed.